This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Chris Christie. Chris Christie may want to rule the world. Oh, you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Hey, welcome to the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow drafted into duty from bradblog.com right here to KPFK in Los Angeles. Los Angeles's Pacifica Radio affiliate, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe via kpfk.org. Welcome to the Bradcast here. Glad to have you with us for the next 28 minutes or so. Where we go from my brain out to our public airwaves. I have been covering a story that I broke, a two-part exclusive last week at Mother Jones concerning the Koch brothers and concerning some secret audio recordings that I was able to obtain from their recent super-secret, super-confidential fundraising and political strategy session near Vail, Colorado that you were not supposed to know about. You were certainly not supposed to hear what went on inside, who spoke inside, and yet you now can. You can see my two-part article on this at motherjones.com. Of course, I've been covering at bradblog.com where we have the complete audio and the complete transcripts of the goings-on out there in Vail, Colorado, and they have certainly shook things up a bit over the past week. We covered the first part, largely focused on the first part of my report last Wednesday on this program, concerning Charles Koch's introduction at this super-secret summer seminar out there in Vail, wherein he alluded to the President of the United States as Saddam Hussein. He talked about the 2012 elections as the mother of all wars. And then he proceeded to list the names of millionaires and billionaires, each who had given more than $1 million over the past 12 months to the charities of the Koch brothers, the corporate titans, oil and chemical conglomerate magnates of Koch Industries, the nation's second largest private corporation. The Koch brothers are worth $22 billion each, reportedly. And what they do is raise as much money as they can, run a bunch of front groups like Americans for Prosperity to push their political agenda with dark, dark money that they can now do in light of Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision. That was decided by former Koch seminar attendees like Justice Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia and so forth. This week I want to focus on the secret keynote speaker at the event of the opening night, who nobody even knew this guy was there. As big of a huge superstar that this guy is in the Republican Party, until my report last week, for the past 2 months since he appeared on June 26, no one had any idea that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie gave the keynote address out in Colorado for the Koch brothers. In fact, he had appeared on NBC's Meet the Press that morning, June 26, the Sunday, flew out to Colorado, met with all the corporate titans, spent the day out there, gave a humdinger, a stem winder of a keynote address, and then flew home that night and in the next morning appeared on three different cable news shows in Manhattan, two on Fox, one on MSNBC, And it was as if he never left. And the press in New Jersey had no idea. This has caused quite a bit of controversy over the past week. A number of political firestorms. We're going to cover one of them in particular. But I wanted to quote Frank James here from NPR, who wrote after the release of the stories last week as to why they are important. This was Frank James at NPR. He wrote, "The reports are well worth taking time to read. Not just for the secret thrill you'll get from glimpsing something never intended for the public eye. It's a look behind the curtain of how big money is raised in conservative circles. That's a worthwhile addition to our sum of knowledge about how American politics is practiced in the early 21st century." And frankly, I think Frank James of NPR is understating the matter there. In regard to what has gone on in Trenton, in New Jersey, since the part two of this story broke, I received an off-record email from a reporter, I'll just say, at an East Coast daily, who wrote to me, "Brad, remarkable stories last week. I have no idea where the hell you got that audio, but it stopped the news cycles cold in Trenton, changed the conversation. That doesn't happen often," this reporter wrote. So indeed, we did rake some muck over the past week, and that muck continues to get raked here over the past week as reporters have been hammering Chris Christie on this secret meeting out in Colorado, and the one that took place several months before it with David Koch, and the effect that it may have had on Christie's decision to pull out of a regional greenhouse gas initiative. And I'll explain what that is in a moment or two. I'll be joined by the director of the New Jersey Sierra Club, Jeff Tittle. But before that, let me quickly play, just to set this up, some of the audio from that meeting. This is actually David Koch introducing Chris Christie before his secret keynote speech, and I will, these are just two short clips, but I'll remind you that the audio quality is not that great because they were secretly recorded, I guess it's fair to say. Here is David Koch in clip number one during his introduction to Governor Chris Christie, revealing that he had met with Chris Christie some 5 months earlier in his office in New York City.
It is a real privilege for me to be asked to say a few words on behalf of Governor Chris Christie. 5 months ago, we met in my New York City office and spoke, just the two of us, for about 2 hours on his objectives and successes in correcting many of the most serious problems of the New Jersey state government. At the end of our conversation, I said to myself, I'm really impressed and inspired by this man. He is my kind of guy.
He is my kind of guy, says David Koch, billionaire oil tycoon, in regard to Chris Christie, revealing that 5 months ago we met in my New York City office and spoke, just the two of us, for about 2 hours. Okay, so now we have that on the record. We have this meeting in Colorado. We have the meeting in New York City with David Koch, the secret meeting there as well, private for about 2 hours. And that was a few weeks prior to Chris Christie's May 26 announcement that he was going to withdraw from the so-called Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGGI, as it's called for short, which is an agreement between 10 northeastern states to create a cap-and-trade market to curb pollutants and to use the profits raised from that for clean energy initiatives. All right, David Koch then goes on to laud Governor Christie for his surprise withdrawal from REGGI on May 26th. That would be exactly 1 month prior to the keynote speech in Colorado.
Another example of Governor Christie's commitment to the free enterprise system is that only a few weeks ago he announced that New Jersey would be withdrawing from the Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which would have raised energy costs, reduced economic growth, and led to very little, if any, benefit for the environment.
Okay, well, it would have raised energy costs, reduced economic growth, led to very little, if any, benefit for the environment. You heard the hoots and whistles go up when they said that he had pulled out of the regional greenhouse gas initiative. The Kochs have spent millions via their Americans for Prosperity group, among others. Americans for Prosperity was founded with money from the Kochs. David Koch is still their CEO. Remember, the Kochs funded the not just the Tea Party movement, but the global warming denial industry. So they have been fighting against REGGIE, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, for quite a while. That's what we learned somewhat. We learned a lot more in Christie's speech and so forth. But for today's discussion, that's the relevant portion that I want to get to, because this has caused a bit of a firestorm, the revelation that Chris Christie met with David Koch prior to withdrawing from REGGIE. Now, he has been asked about this over the last couple of days. He has been sort of dodging the issue. And I want to play one more clip here before I bring on Jeff Tittle from the New Jersey Sierra Club. This is from last night, 101.5 FM in New Jersey, which is sort of a right-wing station, but they have a once-a-month Ask the Governor show. And host Eric Scott brought up this question, a number of questions actually related to these secret Koch revelations, and Governor Chris Christie was able to wriggle out from under this one because the host, Eric Scott, clearly was not fully up to speed on this issue. Eric Scott asks Christie about this private meeting with the Kochs, the one that took place prior to Christie's withdrawal from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, but he wasn't up to speed enough, so Christie was able to wriggle out of it and conflate the two different events to bamboozle this radio host. Clip number three, Federico.
There's been a little bit of controversy this week and again today about, once again, your travel out of state. You were asked about it at a press conference today, trip to Colorado, met with a pair of billionaire oil industry brothers. That was apparently...
Actually, I went and spoke at a conference that they were sponsoring. There were about 400 people there.
So did you speak with these two individuals?
They were there.
Okay.
But I spoke with them and 398 other people.
Okay.
That I gave my speech to.
Was there a private meeting with those individuals?
They welcomed me and said hello, and we talked for about a minute and a half, and then I went to give my speech.
I guess the concern is, or the question that was raised, is was there any connection between that conversation and your withdrawal from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative?
Yeah,
that's the connection.
Sure, and that's because reporters don't do their homework. I had already withdrawn from REGGIE months before I gave the speech in Colorado, 2 months beforehand. So I don't know how a conversation I could have. I had 2 months after I did something could have an effect on what I did.
Oh, you don't, Governor?
But that wasn't even a relevant topic of conversation.
No, because I'd already done it, and I went there 2 months later.
You were asked,
and I also said, by the way, that they didn't even raise it with me.
Okay, so there's Governor Chris Christie wriggling out of that, acting like he was being asked about the meeting in Colorado that took place after his withdrawal rather than the one that took place 5 months earlier that David Koch revealed happened. So he wriggled out of that last night. Today, his statement, he was asked about this again. And this time, the reporters didn't let him wriggle out of it. This was from Bergenfield, a press conference that happened today. I'm reading from the Politiker NJ website, but AP has confirmed the same. Governor Chris Christie said at no point in two meetings this year with wealthy and influential magnate David Koch did the conservative businessman lobby the governor to pull New Jersey out of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. Christie said the two spoke about a whole range of policy and political issues, unquote, state and federal, in a two-hour get-together at Koch's New York City office in February. Quote, REGGIE never came up. He never brought it up. I never brought it up, Christie said, agreeing that defeating the cap-and-trade initiative has been a major goal of Koch's Americans for Prosperity advocacy group. Quote, I certainly thought he was going to, but he didn't. He asked for the meeting. I didn't ask for the meeting, Christie said. I had lunch with him. Those were the topics he brought up. He didn't bring up REGGIE. I thought he would, but he didn't. So, I think Christie is now on record as saying, no, I didn't speak with him at either meeting. Okay. With that in mind now, I want to turn to Jeff Tittle. He's the director of the New Jersey Sierra Club. He described the Coke tapes after they were released last week as, quote, a smoking gun that shows Christie's been working with the Koch brothers from the beginning. Jeff Tittle, welcome to KPFK, sir.
Welcome. I'm glad to be on. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for taking the time. Now, I think you heard some of my setup there. And actually, before I get to that, I just want to find out, you weathered Hurricane Irene okay out there? Was your home okay, or did you face any flooding out there last week?
I'm fine. You know, as an environmentalist, I bought our house outside the flood line, but near me got flooded, and roads around here were flooded. And even up till today, I didn't have good phone service, but... We came through okay, but a lot of people have had a lot of problems.
I know they have, and our best to those folks. Okay, glad you weathered it well. You heard my introduction here and the pieces of this David Koch, Chris Christie business. What do you think at this point? Do you accept Chris Christie's explanation that he did not discuss the topic either in Colorado or several months earlier in his private two-hour meeting with David Koch?
Well, whether he discussed it or not, he's doing their bidding. You know, I personally think they probably brought it up, but may not have been directly. It also could have been through intermediaries, which he does all the time,
mm-hmm.
You know, meaning someone on Koch's staff with his staff or even with him. The governor has a problem, and if you can look at some quotes from some of the different you know, elected officials in New Jersey about completely telling the truth, if the governor was Pinocchio, you'd be getting hit with his nose by about now. So you have to understand, you have to take what the governor says. Sometimes yes, sometimes not really. There's always a Christie angle to everything. And the fact that he, you know, when he leaves the state just to go to New York City, he's supposed to notify the lieutenant governor, and going to Colorado, and he criticized Governor Corzine for leaving the state, that he did the same thing. But the difference is that in New Jersey, the Koch brothers are not tolerated, and that's why he tried to hide it. And by you breaking that story and releasing the tape took away his denial that he's been doing their bidding all along. And that's what was critical and so important about what you did.
And just so people understand, Jeff Tittle, if you can give us a very quick idea what the importance is of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, why this has gotten so much focus, and why it matters, frankly, to the rest of us in this nation.
Well, it's important because it's the first real attempt by a group of states to try to regulate and reduce greenhouse gases and also develop a funding source for clean energy programs. And it's actually a lot of businesses. It's created over 180,000 jobs in the Northeast. The irony is that RGGI was actually designed by George Pataki, and this is really a Republican way of helping to lower greenhouse gases by using market forces to do it. And so the irony is that the Republican Party has moved so far to the right that a regional agreement that was signed on by five Republican governors at the beginning, including Mitt Romney, is now considered this radical way of dealing with the environment. And I find that, you know, one interesting, and also the fact that when Governor Christie ran for governor just, you know, two short years ago, he criticized John Corzine for not doing enough to fight global warming and to promote clean energy, and actually supported RGGI. And you see, he just goes with the shift in the political winds.
Yeah, it is rather extraordinary, and the shifting political winds and the way cap and trade has been, you know, regarded as this lefty communist Marxist plot or something, when in fact that was the Republican, the right wing answer to a carbon tax, which had been proposed by Democrats and so forth. So yeah, cap and trade was supposed to be the quote-unquote conservative way to deal with global warming, and it has worked in the past for other issues, for curbing ozone and acid rain and so forth. But now, all of a sudden, it's this crazy idea from the left. How do we reconcile? You heard Koch's introduction where he said, you know, where he lauded Christie for getting out of RGGI. And yet, if you look at that press conference on May 26th when Christie announced that he was pulling out of the agreement, he talked about, you know, global warming is real. You can't ignore the scientific consensus. Man has something to do with it. Now, I noticed Christie did not bring up any of these issues smartly when he was speaking in Colorado. But how do we reconcile this position that Christie seems to have that is so different from the Kochs on that.
But it's not. I mean, Sarah Palin says man has an influence on climate change, and he parsed his words very carefully. But he had to play for two audiences, one in New Jersey and one nationally. So what Christie likes to do is he likes to play this game where locally he'll talk environmental. He won't really do anything environmental. Then nationally he'll do something like this, and then he'll be the darling of the Koch brothers and the Tea Party. And that's the game that he plays. You know, he says that, well, he supports cleaning up Barnegat Bay and our coast, and then he vetoes three bills that actually would help do it. I mean, that's the game that he plays all the time, and if you actually look at his statement, it really wasn't that different than Sarah Palin's on climate change.
So he says one thing, but then he does another.
Well, he plays to two audiences, in New Jersey, where the environment is very popular, and to national, which is where he wants to go. And, you know, and what was important about your tape, because he always tries to say he does things because of New Jersey interests. So we thought he was pulling out of Reggie because he was afraid that he would actually be regulated under Reggie as the second largest source of hot air in the state. But it turned out that he was doing it to curry favor with the Koch brothers instead.
And now you say it's to curry favor with the Koch brothers, and I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with you here, but is this your opinion, or do we actually have evidence now for this as far as you see because of these secret audio tapes?
Well, there's two things. One, I'm friends with many of his staff people. I go back with them. Many of them were moderate Republicans who saw him as the conservative alternative to the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
And they have said to me that the biggest problem that we have with the governor is that the more the Republican Party moves to the right, he sees the threat to him politically from the right, so he's going to move in that direction away from the center. And the other thing is that since he's been governor, he's been doing their bidding. I mean, it's not just Reggie. He came in and he froze all regulations that were being proposed. He put a red tape review on. He did this whole thing where he passed his executive orders, not only freezing regulations, but pulling down certain important clean air and clean water, things like regulating toxics like perchlorate or sulfur coming from refineries. But then he signed an executive order saying New Jersey should have no rules stricter than the federal government. And it goes on, you know, vetoing money for women's health, getting rid of public television. And this is the Koch brothers' agenda nationally. And what I found interesting was that everything Christie was doing was also being duplicated by Governor LePage, the Tea Party governor in Maine, Scott Walker in Wisconsin, Kasich in Ohio, and I forget the guy in Michigan. So it's part of their playbook. So Christie has been following the Koch brothers' playbook from the beginning, but trying to hide behind the fact that he didn't, you know, he had no dealings with the Koch brothers until both the meeting, which he had never told the public since February, or going to the Millionaire Love Fest in Dale.
Right. The Kochs issued a statement today. This comes via Beth DeFalco at AP. They also say that there was never a discussion with Chris Christie between the Kochs and Christie. They say, however, we believe the governor's decision to abandon Reggie was the right one. By lifting harmful regulations on businesses, New Jersey is preventing further job losses and acting in the best interests of its citizens. Your thoughts, Jeff Tittle, on that statement?
Well, I mean, first, they didn't have to tell him direct. It could have come through intermediaries. Secondly, you know, the Koch brothers have both sides of the Republican Party now in New Jersey. The head of Americans for Prosperity, Steve Lonergan, ran against him in the primary 2 years ago. So the Kochs have, you know, control now the Republican Party in New Jersey because they have the old Tea Party faction under their control, and now they have the Christie faction. And the fact that some of Christie's closest aides and political supporters, like Senator Krillos and Senator Arojo and Jay Weber, who was his campaign chairman, are the New Jersey members of ALEC, which is the American Legislative Exchange, which is a Koch-funded front group that's been the main driving force behind weakening environmental regulations, pulling out of Reggie and other things. So there's so many different connections that are popping up between Christie and the Kochs that, things go better with Coke. I think that's Christie's reelection campaign slogan.
I think it is. I have a Coke and a smile, as you wrote at the Philly Burbs. I think is where I saw it online, your editorial about all of this. Sort of underscoring a lot of these thoughts. As this all moves forward, and I should mention, by the way, you had talked about Christie's nose growing. There is another major scandal related to these tapes that has been brewing over the past week in New Jersey. Christie had claimed during his speech to the Koch brothers that, in fact, the head of the speaker of the assembly speaker, Sheila Oliver, had called him and asked for his support while they were trying to pass this bill that would cut public worker pensions and benefits, claimed that Christie said, "I will help you if the Democrats come at you to keep your speakership. I'll get the Republicans on their side, and I'll get the Republicans on your side so they can't take you down as Speaker." This has caused a huge uproar, and Sheila Oliver has come out and said the governor is lying, it never happened, and that she believes he is mentally deranged. That's a literal quote. So these tapes have caused a lot of uproar out there, and it is difficult at this point to tell the truth, to tell who's telling the truth here and who is not. Jeff Tittle, as you look at this moving forward, do you think this brouhaha, the comments by David Koch calling Christie my kind of guy and a true political hero, will help or hurt Christie in his political future? And does he intend to run for president, whether it's this year in 2012, which I think could still happen, or in the future?
Well, I really think Christie is angling for vice president because he doesn't have a national organization behind him yet to really run in Iowa and places like that. And if he is on the ticket, then if the ticket wins, he's in the heir apparent. If the ticket loses, he can just run for president the next time out. I think what these tapes do is, more importantly, it exposes Christie, but it means that other papers and reporters in New Jersey that have been giving him a free pass will now start digging. I mean, many of the things that I talk about, I've tried to get the reporters in New Jersey to write about for the last, you know, year, and now they're jumping on it. The fact that he's got so many connections to ALEC and other Christie and other, you know, and other parts of the Koch-tipus, the big Koch machine that's out there. And so, and they're putting a lot of money into the legislative races in New Jersey through a lot of their membership now as well. So we know that those connections are there. They're being exposed. And I think what it does is it hurts him, you know, very much in a state like New Jersey, which has always had sent moderate Republicans like a Tom Kaine, mm-hmm. you know, to the state house, or been mostly Democratic. And so when you look at New Jersey's history, it tends to be a state that's pro-choice, pro-women's rights, pro-gay rights, pro-environment, and supports unions. And he is attacking every part of the base in the state of New Jersey that really is active. And his narrow group that he's moving more and more to the right has always been an outlier in the state. And I think he always tried to walk that middle road, that he was sort of a conservative that cares, but he's going to bring reform and fiscal discipline to the state, but he's not going to be a bad guy on all these other issues.
If,
now it just shows he's part and parcel of the Tea Party and the rest of them.
If there was anything we were able to help do here, it hopefully helps wake the New Jersey media up to cover a lot more of this. Jeff Tittle, really appreciate your time here this afternoon, your work at the Sierra Club. You can get more information at newjersey.sierraclub.org. Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You bet. Okay, well, that wraps us up, unfortunately, here for this week. We'll be back same time, same Brad time, same Brad channel next week. Until then, please check out our stories at MotherJones.com and BradBlog.com. Lots to dig into there. You can also Twitter me at TheBradBlog. Otherwise, until next week, we'll see you at BradBlog.com.